Welcome back to another week of the A&B Podcast. It's your boy, Young Tamarack. I'm here with some good people because my people are never not good. And we all about our business like a suit and tie. I like that one. What's going on with y'all, though, man? Alistair, let them know what it is.
Yo, what up? It's your boy, Stare, a.k.a. the finesse fella, a.k.a. that guy right around the corner, diagonally across from the street. That nigga by the stairs, that guy.
All the way over there.
Yeah,
we appreciate the movements that you're making in terms of
Man, you know, just gotta relocate, switch up, just like I do with these podcast settings, you know.
That is, hey, I'm glad that you brought that into it because we were just talking about that.
We do that, we do that.
But of course, like I said, I'm here for some good people because my people are never not good. We're bringing you another episode of the A&B Podcast. And this week we have a special guest, Melanated Queen, in the building, as you can see. We have Ty, am I saying Abila?
Ty Abila.
We have Ty Abila in the building, the president of Hustle Hard. Correct? That the correct title?
Yes.
Okay, all right. I don't know if I want to throw a
CEO. Facts.
Okay, you know, you got to be ready if you're going to bring the folks on the podcast.
All right.
But yeah, Ty, like I said, if you're not familiar with the podcast, what we always do to start off with is we check in with everybody, see how everybody's week has been. So I don't know if you want to go first. Alistair, if you want to go first, you're the A, so.
I had a crazy week, I'm not going to lie. I always find something to get into or something trips me out, bugs me out. So last episode, I invested in myself, got the Game Boy, you know, was playing Pokemon, I'm all hyped.
I got halfway
through Soul Silver, so I'm like, turn that joint off, turn it back on. They said, nah, game's a bootleg. I got off eBay, and I was like, yo, why is my screen black? Like, why is it not loading? Yeah, that joint's a bootleg. So that was one part of my week. Then I ended my week talking to an 8-year-old and trying to explain Black Lives Matter to him. It was like very interesting because from his perspective, he was like, why are people just putting it all over the place and they're selling t-shirts? they're just trying to make money. And I'm like,
oh wow, the kid's woke a little bit.
That's what I'm saying. So I was like,
okay.
They're just trying to support. You're trying to spread support and awareness. And he was like, yeah, but you know, people just talk about
it. Is the kid black?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So I was like, he's on something.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad that he's doing that actual deep critical type thinking.
Oh, man. I'm on the clock, and I can't really get into this conversation.
Nah, you should have told him. You should have put your Hotep hat on. Look, young brother, I'm going to tell you this right now. You know what I'm saying? The white man. Nah, let me stop.
This
should
tell
100%. But, that's pretty much my week. A lot of other things. Miss Gloria, Kayla's mom, is about to leave us. Unfortunately, she's been a great guest. Definitely enjoyed her time and her meals.
I was going to say probably the meals most
definitely meals, but Kayla's going back to work. So, you know, we about this.
Respect. Yeah. Y'all getting it in.
Yes, sir.
Ty, what about you? How you been as of late? Because last time we saw you was at my birthday cookout, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. it's been a crazy past few weeks. I work in the sports industry. So with the NBA and the WNBA kicking off, I'm on the marketing side. So just making sure that all of our digital strategies, our ads, marketing materials all set in place. That's what I've been working on. But on the side, always working on Hustle Hard stuff, working on some apparel, trying to drop some new items for the brand, for the line. Hustle Hard thing. Yes. But always keeping busy, always trying to, you know, find ways to be proactive. So that's been my week, you know, just grinding, staying, it's just getting it.
Respect. I like that. And I like the gold that you got on, too.
Thank you.
I would have worn my gold, but I mean, I kind of forgot. So. but I mean, as for me, my week has been pretty cool. A little groggy right now because, you know, we went out for Naomi's birthday yesterday. Well, not like out, but we like ate dinner at Ocean Prime in D.C. Very delicious, though, by the way.
That food looked
Ocean Prime in D.C., very delicious. If you want to, you know, I guess spend a little bit of money on your meal, then I mean, it got like the $4 signs on Google. So like, yeah, it's like I was like, man, two is my limit. You know what I mean? But, you know, I went. It was the friend's B-day. So but we had a good time. The food was great. We got a little turn afterwards, and so like that's why I'm like a little tired. But
we played Black Card Revoked.
Yeah, but we did play Black Card Revoked, and I feel like a lot of us got our black cards revoked because there was a lot of shit that. Because I ain't even seen Jason Lyric yet, and I feel like people are gonna be like, "Oh, you haven't seen Jason Lyric?" But I mean, no, it wasn't one of those movies that that everybody was like, "Yo, you gotta see Jason Lyric," you know. So I've heard people do that for Boys in the Hood and like a few others, right. But what else, man? Working, man, and
how's the video shoot?
Oh, I literally forgot about it. I'm starting to put together the video for Jeff for the Move Your Body video. It's gonna be dope, man. I think it's gonna be crazy. So like I would say I'm at like maybe about 50 seconds out of the whole entire video that's been like put together. Not like with any like crazy effects or anything, but in terms of like the timeline and the story of like what you're like looking at, that's been put together. So shout out to my fellas at Charles Savant Productions for assisting me on shooting that. I ain't shout them out last time, but I definitely didn't do everything by myself. So definitely shout out to them. But yeah, other than that, man, just working, going to the gym, staying masked up when I'm in the gym, and then going to the corner to take my mask off to breathe when I get real tired, away from everybody, of course. And yeah,
did you ever get the ventilated mask?
No, I haven't. I've been bullshitting. Because you know what it is for me, though, and I don't want to get off on a tangent, is like when you think about something and then Instagram puts ads up in your face for it, I just be like, nah, bruh, they're not going to sucker me into buying some shit because I want to buy it already. So I just be stubborn for real with the IG ads. So I just need to, I need to just do it. I need to just buy a ventilated mask. It'll make my life 10 times easier, but man, you know, whatever. But, Alistair, man, can you hook us up with the top five for this week?
Top five.
Most definitely. Based off our guests, we are going to do top five players in the league, in the NBA right now. Does anybody feel confident in going first?
I'll just go and throw my list out there. Okay. Some of this is partially based on bubble basketball, but of course, LeBron. He's the GOAT, so I'm not going to say LeBron. James Harden. James Harden is one of the best players in the league. CP3. I think Chris Paul is extremely underrated. And I saw an article the other day that said Chris Paul should low-key be the MVP because of how he makes every franchise that he goes to better. And, like, LeBron does that. But, like, I'm talking about, like, at the height and size that he is to be able to do that. And, like, right. Especially at a ball-dominant position, like point guard being literally 6 foot. He might not even be 6 foot. He might be 5'11". Yeah, and Chris Paul literally made all the young dudes on OKC better. But who else? Devin Booker, because he hit that crazy tough-ass shot the other day. And it was very Kobe-esque. And last but not least, man, TJ Warren, dog. You know what I'm saying? He's been hooping. I don't know where he built that up or if he'd been working on his game so hard over the break.
Hate towards Jimmy Butler. Festering up. Like, that just came out. Because he probably walks past his room every night and be like, I'm about to put buckets up just because it's, you know.
Revenge, man, but yeah, that's my list. Quick, right. Straight to the point, pretty
I'm
concise.
I'm gonna jump out. Of course, I got LeBron. I'm gonna put AD because he's also a Laker.
Oh, damn, yeah, I didn't think about
AD. I'm gonna put Luka.
Damn, I didn't even think about Luka.
Bubble basketball, I'm gonna have to put who else has been hooping in the bubble right now? TJ Warren, of course. And last but not least, I'm gonna put Giannis just because it's his league. Once he gets a jump shot, so we'll see.
You know who I really forgot? Sorry, I don't want to cut you off. Honorable mention. Michael Porter Jr. Honestly,
he's ball too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They got some good young players in Denver. Even though Michael Porter Jr. made that kind of wild comment about forgiveness of like people that are killing black people, but we don't have to do all that right now. But yeah, he's been hooping, and I mean, I think he's everything that everybody wanted Ben Simmons to kind of be. Initially, especially in terms of like his size, his ability to move the ball up the court, he can shoot, he can play without the ball. He's got it. Hopefully, as long as he stays healthy, man, Michael Porter Jr. is going to be hot take better than Giannis.
Wow,
I think he can be better than Giannis. I think he can be, bro. Yep, hot take. Yeah. Hot take.
Wow, that's
hot
a take.
But Ty, you can go ahead with your list.
I'm gonna go with three. So I'm gonna go with my top three. No particular order, but I'm definitely gonna go with LeBron. Respect his game. I mean, he knows how to play the field. He knows how to play the court. He knows how to take control. At the end of the day. And then I will go with Kawhi Leonard. I'll go with him.
Kawhi. What about Kawhi?
He's like subtle. Like, yeah, I feel like he makes it so easy. Yeah. Like, he could easily drop almost 40 effortless. Points, and it's just like nothing to him. So yes, absolutely. And then third, I'm gonna go with the home team because I work with the Wizards. I'm gonna go with Bradley Beal, just because I see kind of day in and day out what he does behind the scenes. Just speaking against his work ethic more so, and just how he's developed over time these last couple seasons. Bradley Beal, underrated. So I'm going to throw him in the mix.
Yeah, Bradley Beal's a bucket. Yeah. Super bucket. Walking bucket, actually. He just plays for the Wizards, so. Yeah, no offense to the Wizards, but I mean, yeah, he plays for the Wizards. You would think the DC franchise, I mean, well, never mind. Let me not even say that, but like. we live in a good city. Like, I mean, we're like a good area. And like, you would think that words, like, yeah. You would think that they would, it would just be lit. Like, people would want to come play in DC, but I guess not. So, but.
When their leader takes in the Rose Bar as his recruiting.
It's not a bad move though, man. It's not a bad move. Bring back all the DC nightlife once Corona's over. But yeah, like I said before, we have you here today, Ty, and you know, you're the president of Hustle Hard. But before we even really get into Hustle Hard, there's probably a lot of things that happened in your life that led you to the point of even deciding to create something like Hustle Hard. In your name online, you're Miss Athletic. Yes. So I'm assuming you have some sort of sports background and you play ball. So, I mean, do you want to just kind of talk a little bit about, like, you coming up as an athlete?
Yeah, Miss Athletic just pretty much came about because I consider myself to be an all-around athlete. Mm-hmm. Growing up, I played basketball, soccer, tennis. I ran track. I did a little bit of swimming. And, yeah, I pretty much done it all. And, you know, kind of going into my collegiate career, I played basketball and tennis on a college level. So just pretty much just staying active. And thankfully, I've kind of been a jack of all trades and have been able to excel. And I had the opportunity to go to the Sweet 16 and advance my junior year in college for tennis. And we also went to the NCAA tournament for basketball my junior year as well. So sports has always been a big part of me. It's who I am. And it's definitely allowed me to travel to different countries, meet amazing people along the way. So I definitely attest a lot of my journey and who I am in sports.
Damn. Okay. So we need to take a couple steps back. So for one, okay, you played basketball on a collegiate level and tennis on a collegiate level, which for one, two-sport athlete in college. Woo. Crazy.
How'd you even balance that?
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about 6 a.m. basketball practices. You have to squeeze in, you know, the tutoring, you know, as far as, you know, getting your homework in and stuff like that, your classes, then you have a weight session. Then later in the day, I have tennis practice. So there were some days where I actually had two practices in the same day. With little to no sleep, that's when like those.
You're not tired? You okay?
Look, I made it this far. But that's like a point in time where like those 15 minute naps were key.
Crazy.
Man, you know, they were like the best thing ever. But yeah, you know, playing those two sports was definitely. It taught me time management, you know, how to balance everything. And I really don't think there is such thing as balance just with all that I have going on, but I made it work. Yeah. And, you know, I graduated, I had a high GPA and, you know, I had a pretty successful collegiate story as a lot of people would say. So, yeah.
Damn, that's what's up. What school did you go to?
I went to the University of DC for undergrad.
How'd you end up picking that school coming from Jersey?
Honestly, I got to the point where I was tired of visiting schools and it was just like UDC was my last school that I visited. It was in the city and I'm just like, you know what? I'm going here. Wow. Like I was just tired of going to different schools. And the crazy thing is to kind of backtrack a little bit. I was so invested on playing soccer that I was planning on playing soccer at the collegiate level because in my opinion, I was a better soccer player than basketball player.
For the African genes. Yep.
So I had a lot of high, mid D1 offers to play soccer. Some schools wanted to offer me to play both soccer and basketball. But I know deep down, basketball was where my heart was. So I was like, I need to go this route. I know I'm going to be unhappy if I play soccer for 4 years. Decided to go to basketball route, went to UDC. Like I said, really the city environment is what captured my attention. And it seemed like a city of opportunity. So I wanted to explore that.
Wow. Damn. Honestly, yeah, I didn't know. I didn't know a lot of that. Like, damn, that's what's up. No, like for real, like to be a multi-sport athlete. And for people to be like offering you to come to the school and be like, hey, we know you play basketball, but like you can play soccer too. Like,
well, what? They have options.
That's crazy. And I mean, again, like, I'm even thinking about like the wear and tear, like on like you, like on a day to day, like having to like literally practice for two sports.
Yeah.
Like I really couldn't even imagine that. Like I have a hard time like going to work and then going to the gym, and I'd be like, damn, bro, I gotta go to the gym. Shit.
Honestly, like I've been very fortunate. I had no major injuries throughout my college career. Yeah. And I barely stretch. I'm not a stretcher.
I didn't stretch this morning, actually. I've been trying to get into my regular stretch bag.
Now that I'm getting a little up there in age, you know, I'm kind of learning more the importance of stretching. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you know, no major injuries, barely stretched, and I've been able to make it. And I honestly, right now, because I've been working out 6 days a week during this quarantine, Like, I feel like I'm in my best shape right now.
She said 6 days. I feel like I'm wasting my time. Like, even like working out and going to the gym. Just the way you said that. Like, I thought I was doing something with my little jump rope, but nah.
Gotta make sure that mental and physical is intact.
No, you're right. You're right.
Isolation, and you know, we've been away from people. So this has kind of been like my therapy session.
Yeah, nah, for real. You definitely can blow off a lot of steam in the gym. That's why it's also one of my like favorite things to do, even though like sometimes I'd be dreading it, especially ab work. But, damn, that's what's up. 6 days a week, though. What you go like for like an hour?
Or? Yeah, 45 minutes. Just okay, do like a session. Okay. And yeah, 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday. And I actually look forward to it now. Like, it's one of those things where it's just like, dang, is it 6 o'clock yet? Is it time to work out?
Ooh, yeah. It's part of the routine.
I see the results. Like, I feel good. You know, you feel good, you look good. So I'm with it.
That's what's up. Okay. So we touched on the athletic upbringing. The good Kenyan genes that have prevented you from, you know, from being injured. But so I guess for people out there listening to the podcast, what exactly is Hustle Hard?
All right. So Hustle Hard Global, nonprofit organization. We work with underprivileged youth in Kenya. So we provide basketball tournaments, camps, life skill training sessions, really just to provide them with resources that they necessarily didn't have access to prior to us being there. Mm-hmm. Long story short, that's what we do.
OK, so I guess what drove you into doing that? Did you like go to Kenya one year and be like, man, there's like a lack of resources out here, or?
Yeah, it was a mixture of that and then also kind of tying in my passion and love for basketball. Mm-hmm. I do have a lot of family that still resides in Kenya. So actually in 2014, the year that Hustle Hard started, I actually went to Kenya that year. And I met some amazing people. I'm always about networking. And I met one coach in particular. And, you know, he brought me out to see the kids. And I got to watch them play. And I was just like, man, like, we could really do something. Like, we could do something big out here. And I saw, and he told me the lack of resources that they have and some of the items that they needed. So kind of fast forward to 2015, that's when we hosted our very first basketball camp in Kenya. Hosted a camp for 120 kids. Okay. We're able to provide them with basketball, t-shirts, shorts, socks, a whole bunch of sponsors that contributed to that particular, you know, kind of event that blew up for us. So once that first camp took place, that's kind of where things kind of generated. So we quickly went from a for-profit company trying to make money and train people here in the DMV. Mm-hmm. To quickly the next year turning into a nonprofit organization, because it was at that point when we hosted the basketball camp, I was like, this is what I'm meant to do. Like, this is, it kind of tapped into what my purpose was at that point.
Can you speak on the grind of a nonprofit? Because it's not like as rewarding, I guess, but it's more like that internal feeling.
It definitely is internal. There's a lot of work that goes behind having a nonprofit, just kind of being an entrepreneur, whether it's part-time, full-time, it's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears on the back end, you know, especially with me working a full-time 9 to 5 and then, you know, Hustle Hard may be like my 7 to 12, 7 to 2 a.m., like constant drive. And then I'm connecting with people that is in a different country. So kind of factor in the time zone with communication, you know, on WhatsApp, what's going on. But the fact that I've seen these kids grow up since 2015 to now, and seeing the growth and the progress, that's what's rewarding for me. To see them being in school, to see them, you know, pursuing and receiving their education, for them taking their basketball, you know, skills to the next level, and just really kind of seeing how they're contributing to their community, that brings me joy. So while there's a lot of grind that takes place on a back end, just being able to see them progress and kind of be in their state of mind that they're in, that's what makes me happy. That's what brings me joy.
That's what's up. So I know that, well, for myself personally, I was in a program where I try to do like a cleat drive, like for I guess kids in like Ghana who like just like soccer's a big game in Ghana. So I noticed when in my time being there, kids are out there, they're literally playing with no shoes, no shin guards or any of that type of stuff. So I was like, man, let me try to like start a program where we, you know, we do like a cleat drive. We get cleats and, you know, then we send them over. I'm only saying that to ask, how do you, I guess, what was the process for you to create your nonprofit? Was it something that you figured out on your own? Did you have to do like, you know, your own personal research to kind of make that happen, or how did that go?
I of course, you know, there's some research that took place, but I'm more so like, I'm gonna learn as I go. And because I already have family there, they were able to kind of provide me with some guidance. And because I networked prior to actually starting the event there, their initiative that we were hosting, I've already knew the right people and knew kind of where to put the right pieces in the place so that everything can come together. So, you know, kind of attending to networking is key. Like, there's no way I would have been able to do what I'm doing now if I didn't have people on the ground to connect with and gather the kids together and kind of get information on their background and their history and stuff like that about them and their family. So definitely the network, but more so, you know, just kind of having that communication. You know, communication has been key as far as translating everything between what's going on here in the U.S. and what's going on in Kenya. Yeah.
Okay. So you, well, I mean, I know coronavirus is like kind of running rampant or whatever, but I mean, how often did you find yourself actually like going out to Kenya to like, you know, or do you like kind of just work with your team directly and like they kind of do some of the events and then, you know, you kind of are overseeing from here or?
Yeah. So a little bit of both. So I've been going consistently these past 5 years. So this past December in 2019 is when we hosted our fifth annual basketball camp and our fourth annual all girls tournament. Unfortunately, due to Corona, what we have going on right now, I actually just kind of made the executive decision that we are going to hold off for this year, 2020, and just resume next year. But in the meantime, what I'm going to do is provide them with a recording, just kind of relaying the message to the kids and to the coaches out there. And then I'm actually going to demonstrate a couple of drills that they can do on their own. And I will go ahead and host a food supply drive for them. That's going to be conducted with the coaches there on the ground. So while not being able to be there, still trying to find a way where trying I can have make an impact. Yeah, which is important. And I'm definitely going to miss the kids even thinking about it. I'm like, dang, like this will be the first year in like 5 years that I haven't gone back to Kenya. Especially like, you know, it's not even just basketball for me. My family's there too. So being able to spend some time with them. But yeah, definitely looking to 2021 and hopefully things kind of clear up and we can continue doing what we're doing.
Respect. What challenges do you feel like are like big roadblocks in going towards, I'm not gonna say opening up the Hustle Hard organization, but like what was like the biggest steps that you had to tackle?
Funding. You know, and it all comes down to what I'm doing, you know, is funding and kind of going back to networking, you know, having that relationship with the certain people that I have, you know, but at the end of the day, like a lot of this stuff is pouring, like the money's coming out of my pocket. And because I'm so passionate about what I'm doing, like, I really don't care. Like, all right, you know, money's going towards this. I know it's going towards a great cause. It's something that I truly care a lot about. So funding is a big hurdle. And I think, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of startups, you know, can attest and say the same thing. You know, when it comes down to it, funding is a major thing. And, you know, being an entrepreneur, depending on what type of business you have, a lot of people fail in those first couple of years because of that. You know, they don't have the financial background or support. And I'm just really thankful to have a very supportive family. My parents, you know, I recently started the apparel side of Hustle Hard, that brand. And, you know, people are buying left and right. Like, my dad bought a shirt yesterday, was rocking it yesterday. My mom's downstairs buying hats.
I seen you got like a little sweatsuit combo as well, too. So
I'm having fun with it. Honestly, the apparel side, I'm just really having fun with it. But that in itself, that entity is still able to support what I'm doing on the international level in Kenya, because 100% of the proceeds that I'm doing with apparel is going right into our initiatives. So that was just like another avenue where I was just like, you know, hey, this is a way to bring in some money. Because again, funding, where is it coming from? So funding.
I definitely feel like funding is a major thing. And like you said, being an entrepreneur, like a lot of time you throw like your own bread, like directly into whatever it is. Even like something like this podcast, for example, granted, we're not, you know, out here providing basketball knowledge to the youth in Kenya, which is a little more major, but you know, there's still like money we had to spend to like, you know, buy a microphone, you know,
but what y'all doing is important,
right? Exactly. But like, it's just like goes to show you that like if you don't invest in yourself or the things that you're passionate about, nothing's gonna happen, nothing will move forward.
That's a gem,
you know.
That's
what I'm saying, right? It's gonna stand still. So I know that for me, a lot of the time it's kind of that whole like I guess paralysis by analysis feeling, where you're like, you're thinking about like, okay, well, if I spend this money, like, it's gonna be gone. Like, what am I gonna do? Like, if I don't have it, you know what I mean? But at the end of the day, like, yeah, you gotta go. And I mean, I definitely think it's super dope that you managed to put all this together. And like you said, without your team of people, it wouldn't be possible. And again, that goes to kind of the support system. Yeah. And that's something that we're really big on the podcast. And I've actually tried to get better at the whole support aspect of just supporting, you know, people that I fuck with, you know what I mean? Just like what kind of Sean was saying on the episode last week, was like, okay, if your man's got a mixtape, you know what I mean? You don't walk up to people and be like, hey, like, you know, you want to check out my friend's song? Like, the excitement that you show for WAP when it comes out, you know what I'm saying? You need to show that excitement. Yeah, WAP's a whole different. Ooh. I don't know. I went far. But the excitement that you show. The excitement that you share for those things, you need to have that same level of excitement for your folks. Yes. And I don't know what it is that like prevents people from doing it. Cause I even have to like find myself be like, shit, when I told that to somebody, I wasn't as excited. Like now that I know that, I wasn't as excited as I could have been. You know what I mean? So imagine people trying to sell you something and they're just like, hey, you know, like we got these, you know, these headphones.
That's the power of word of mouth. Cause word of mouth would be like, I'm going to convince you to do this just off my energy that I'm relaying to you.
And support can be free. Like I think a lot of people get stuck into, oh, I got to pay this and do this. And like, there's a lot of ways where you can support upcoming artists, entrepreneurs, whatever the case may be, as a like, a share, anything, like, all of that is free.
I also think, though, because of the time that we live in, people feel like you doing the free support sometimes isn't, like, enough, though. Like, you know what I mean?
People surprised.
No, I mean, it is enough, but at the same time, people will be like, yeah, man, like.
Oh, my little.
I just, I retweeted that, or, like, my man's retweeted that. Like, I don't know if that was
But you'd be surprised. Because just somebody who's just scanning on your page and they see that and be like, oh, wait, let me check this out. I'm bored in the house. Let me just click on this. Oh, this is actually a dope mixtape. Yeah. Thanks, Bryce.
So, like my friend and my fan base is going to be different than what y'all have on the podcast. That's just opening and expanding and vice versa. You know, two different type of target audiences that you're introducing your product, your brand, whatever the case may be is.
That's why you got a link and build, folks. Link and build. It's very important. Yes. It's very important. So, I mean, at this point, we got the events. Is there, I guess, anything more that you're looking to do? Do you see yourself doing anything locally as well? Or is it just kind of remain like Kenyan focused?
I definitely want to do more locally. I've been in DC for maybe 11 years now. So this is like my second home. And I also want to do more on an international level. So I really want to probably build a close partnership with a nonprofit here in DC that works with underprivileged youth, particularly around sports, so that we can kind of co-partner, co-sponsor different events here in DC or the DMV area. And on an international level, I definitely would like to expand to other East African countries. Our services as far as what we're providing.
West side, the best side.
So you need a plug for Ghana, we can work that out. So just even having the connections that we have with like Uganda and Tanzania, you know, kind of stepping our foot and expanding our services and our efforts to other people. That's definitely something I want to do. But Kenya is always going to be the hub. That's going to be home. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm going to develop my first basketball court to have for the kids. And
that was actually going to be my next question. I was like, do you see yourself like putting together like some facilities?
Absolutely. Like, so like long-term goal, like a dream of mine would to be create a sports complex. That way where the kids have a safe place where that they continue their sports activities, a place where they can study with academics, but also creating job opportunities for those within the community. Sports complex is on my list. And also, like I said, building and developing a basketball court, Hustle Hard Edition.
Yeah, I think that'd be dope because you got a pretty cool logo. I think like to have Hustle Hard like on the course would be like, would be mad fire.
I can see it now.
How'd you get the name? I mean, it's pretty obvious, like Hustle Hard, but how'd you come across it?
So actually, my friend who is co-founder of Hustle Hard Global, she came up with it. You know, I had names that I threw out there and I was like, it really doesn't need to be that complicated. And she brought up Hustle Hard.
A&B podcast.
So the crazy thing is like, we started as a for-profit company. So we actually went through a name change. We originally started as DMV Hustle Hard Training because, again, our mindset was to train, you know, student athletes in the area. And then when we transitioned to that nonprofit realm, that's where we kind of dropped off some of the language and became Hustle Hard Global because we're international, baby.
Okay. Cool. I feel that. Yes. Let me ask you this. In the time that you've spent kind of working, you know, with the kids in Kenya and offering some of the training, do you see any, I guess, potential like kids that can really like kind of take it to the next level? Or are you still, is there a big gap in the game that's being played here as opposed to what's happening in Kenya?
There's a little bit of both. So there's definitely untapped hidden talent in Kenya, especially when it comes to height. And be able to kind of build that raw and uncut talent. Mm-hmm. There's definitely that there. But then again, kind of where we're trying to step in and hopefully create coaching services is mm-hmm. really kind of bridge that gap in providing the coaches, because that's who the student athletes are with on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. You know, pretty much is in the coaches' hands to kind of provide them with the resources, the skills and stuff like that. So really creating something for the coaches that can be implemented there so that they can kind of carry on some of the stuff that we do here in the States and mm-hmm. implement them. But I get kids all the time that message me, you know, hey, Coach Ty, you know, I want to come to the States to get education and play basketball all the time. So it's definitely, you know, a dream of theirs. You know, they see the States, they see the opportunities, they see, mm-hmm. you know, wanting to get their family in a better predicament. So it's give and take, but there's definitely some untapped talent out there in Kenya for sure.
Yeah, I think that's extremely true across the continent of Africa in general, especially like even if you sit down and look at soccer, whenever we play like the world games, mm-hmm. right? One thing you notice about a lot of the African teams is there's a lot of super fast guys, super strong guys, but for some reason, there's just like that slight lack of like the technicality of the game, which ends up sometimes being like the flaw and the reason why, you know, we fall short. So I feel like we're a little bit behind in some of the techniques. And like you said, bridging that gap, I think is super important. But I mean, do you see yourself maybe even potentially creating a pipeline that brings kids like directly like through with maybe some of the connections that you have? Because I know that, you know, like you said, networking is right. very key. Right. But some of the connections that you have, creating a pipeline where it's like, okay, like people are literally now looking, okay, we you know, there's kids in Kenya that we can go look at to bring them over to hoop here. So, I mean.
Absolutely. I mean, kind of just going back to my connections, I know someone that actually recruits student athletes mm-hmm. From different countries, particularly Africa. Mm-hmm. So, you know, kind of knowing my lane and knowing what their lane is and their field of expertise, like, you know, I'll connect with the student athletes. Kind of one of the first things I ask, you know, do you have any game footage? Do you have highlights? Mm-hmm. Because that's kind of key as far as seeing at what skill set they're at that current point in time. And then transitioning, you know, passing along the student athlete, you know, to those recruiters to kind of see what benefits, what schools are interested, what they're looking for. Some schools really just like, hey, I want a guard that's, you know, 6 foot, or, you know, I want a post player that's 6'5". You know, I post a picture on Facebook of this one kid that was maybe like 6'7". Schools are reaching out to me just like that, just based off height. Yeah. Because you can grow it, you can build talent, you can grow into that. Mm-hmm. And I think they know, especially with kids coming from overseas, their work ethic is unmatched.
It's different.
It's unmatched.
Yeah, when I was at Montrose, when I was in like ninth grade, we brought this guy from Africa. This guy was like 7'1". 7'1", Jordan Tolulupe. He ended up going to UCF. Hey. Honestly, I was better than him. But he's 7'1", so he was getting more playing time.
Of course. I play for you too, man. And I know you, so come on, man. 7'1"?
Yeah.
In high school?
Yeah,
bro. That's an easy call.
Yeah, he was a tall motherfucker.
That's crazy. I always be blown away when people be walking around like 6 foot like 7 and shit and like not be hooping. I mean, you can do whatever you want with your life, but I'll just be like, bro, like hopefully, like, you're a professional getter of things off the shelf or something, like, but...
I got you.
Right, like, yeah, but you're tall. You need to be hooping or doing something. But, I feel like that's kind of unfair to, like, heap that expectation on people.
Yeah.
It's just naturally, that's what we kind of do, exactly. though, so... But to shift gears a little bit, like I said, I mentioned the WAP video a few seconds ago.
And the energy.
And the energy in the WAP video. I saw like a lot of different discussions going on online. Do you feel like the WAP video is a disservice to, well, let's say, I guess, women of color? Or do you feel like it was an empowerment type of vibe?
I'm the type of person that looks at all different type of perspectives, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I definitely feel as though sexism exists, like,
for sure.
You know, if a guy were to rap about sex, drugs and alcohols, but you flip it where you have a woman, you know, rapping about sex, drugs and alcohol or whatever the case may be, is
it's a problem. Yep.
You know, and you know, we place women at, you know, this certain level of pedestal where it's like we have to keep everything clean and classy and, you know, and that's that. But then on the other hand, you know, guys can do what they want but still get that support and that respect for their music or for their talent. So I look at it both sides, you know, like with me, like I like rap music. I enjoy the music. Like I like the raw, uncut lyrics of the song. But then again, I see it on the other side as far as it could be looked at as a way where it may be degrading to Black women as far as the light that people see us in. But I think people should be able to freely express who they are in a way that they want to. So at the end of the day, that's how I feel.
I think everyone should express yourself that way. Express yourself for who you want to.
And I think that's really powerful. To even go back to that pedestal like thing that you like brought up, it's almost as if like sometimes like, all right, we hold women like up here, but then other times it's like, okay, like nah, we're like we're held up here,
but then we're treated down there. And so it's like there's really no win for women, you know, at the end of the day. And I hate to say that.
It's pretty hard.
But women, we're underlooked. We're unprotected. I feel as though in a lot of times, undeserving. Like, there's just a lot that, you know, just being a woman, it can be tough because we're expected to be picture perfect, clean cut, having everything together. And again, so you
may... Precious like a jewel.
It's pressure. It's a lot of pressure, man. It's a lot of pressure out here. But like I said, that's why I feel as though it's important that people be who they generally are naturally and be able to express themselves as far as how they want to.
Respect.
How many times did you see it?
The WAP video? I probably watched it maybe 8 times so far. It could be more, honestly. I'm not sure. But that's how much I watched it. Side note, man, I feel terrible for drinking yesterday. Like, we got halfway into this, and I just was like, oh, man, I just got to maintain. But, like my stomach is, like, doing this right now. So I'm trying to hold it down for all the podcast people out there. I'm not drinking no more, bro. I swear.
That's what they all said.
I know, man. But it's like.
I said 2 weeks ago.
It'd be so good going into it, and it'd just be like.
Just vibe. You
feel terrible afterwards. Like, why, though? Like, why? Why can't you feel.
That's myself.
You feel good after you drink. You know what I mean? I drank water. I was hydrated.
Nah, you gotta have your hangover formula before you go to bed.
Said hangover formula before I go to bed. Yeah. Such as what? Like crushing a Gatorade before I sleep?
Crushing a Gatorade, crushing water, or just eat a slice of bread.
Schedule like something.
Oh, no, you gotta stumble into the kitchen.
Okay.
You even saying all this is making me queasy, bro. Oh my God. Jesus Christ. But also, side note to everybody out there in the podcast world, make sure that you register to vote, or be sure that you are registered to vote.
Ooh,
because at the end of the day, we do not want any more Trump. I'm tired of Trump.
What do you mean? You started this podcast, you used to be like, oh, Trump 2020.
No, yeah, I know. But it was like, it was cool when it was a Trump. Now it's like,
now we're here.
It's like, yeah, bro. Like, he's really no good for like this country, bro. Like, he's got to go.
We got to get him.
Even though Joe Biden is like, super mids.
The lesser two evils.
Excuse me, but
saying.
Which sucks that we have to choose between the lesser of two evils. Another, but
or you can write in Kanye,
That's another conversation.
Yeah, we're not writing in Kanye, bro. Kanye is he has his own issues that he needs to work through. Clearly, if you saw him doing what his campaign, and he was talking about.
Everything,
bro. And it's already been like well documented that Kanye is, I guess, has suffered from like
bipolar
disorder. So I don't think anyone, and not that you can't get your bipolar order under control, but I don't think that it's ideal to have someone with that type of issue to be the president of the United States. Maybe president of Yeezy, president of his own kids fan club, but like, no, like to run the country. No, you got to be a level-headed person, and I think.
But look at Trump. He's not level-headed.
Yeah, but Trump literally just now shifted the whole wave of presidency. You know what I mean?
Look, what a time to be alive.
Yeah. No, for real.
It's 2020.
For real.
What a time.
It's been mad crazy, and I feel like it gets crazier every month. Like something new pops up. Even though some of it I feel like be fake news, but I feel like the whole fake news era has been driven by Trump as well too. So you get on Twitter and you see a story. I saw my African sister talking about how they were treating all the people, and there was people that she was like, nobody needs to wear a mask. And I heard her say that. And I was like, wait a minute, this is fake news. She's out here really spreading this propaganda. So it's to the point of where it's like I remember at one point I can go on Twitter and like I could like see something and I could be like, you know what, that's probably true that somebody's saying that. But now you literally have to go and like verify everything, that's, which you probably should have been doing before. But like, it's just more work now, and it makes me not even want to be on it. I'm just like, can't believe any news that comes across the timeline. So
I stay away from the news at this point.
Yeah. No, the news is, I don't know, man.
It's depressing.
Yeah, it's always been that way though.
But I feel like we're older now to be like, all right, I'm now processing it differently. So I'm like, because once you're watching it as a little kid, you're like, I hear this. Oh, I'm going to tell my friends this. Now it's like, this is immediately going to impact me. Like the whole Trump and the stimulus, he's trying to get there. Yeah, that's cool. But in the big grand scheme of things, he's just trying to get reelected. It's like, oh yeah, Trump gave me another rack. It's lit.
I honestly don't think that should get you reelected. I feel like that's what you're supposed to but do anyway. Like, nah, I don't think so. Because, I mean, you can't get people $1,200 for... How long has it been since we got the first one? It's been a minute, bro. Like, you can't just give people $200 and be like, yeah, feed your family and pay all your bills. You should be fine with that. Like, if it was me, I could make $1,200 work. No, you can't. You're a liar. You're a liar. And I think that's another part of the problem is that the people who are in these positions who can enact change or, like, are the gatekeepers to change, they don't relate to a lot of the regular people out here. So we need people like, I can't remember her name, but she's, what is she, like the, she does something in New York, like the Spanish girl. I don't know if she's like a councilwoman or.
AOC?
Yeah. Her, like yeah. Her like upbringing and her story, like she's somebody who comes from.
She was a bartender.
Right. Yeah, somebody who comes from like really having to like get it out the mud. Yeah. And so I feel like for a lot of like the Caucasian men who are in these positions, it's kind of like, it's shit that gets handed down, you know what I mean? And so. If you don't have that, it's kind of hard to get into those positions. So I just feel like we need more people who not necessarily look like me, but can understand like the story of like coming from like nothing to like try to make something of yourself. I feel like if we had that.
So hard.
Okay. Yes.
Bringing it full circle. I love that. I love that. We're all about full circle moments here. People don't know. But yeah, I mean, I'm not going to be a council person because, I mean, sounds like a lot of work. But, like, somebody out there, like, you know, y'all could do that. And, you know, I'll vote for you if you really on your shit.
Look, be that change. Yeah. Be that change.
For real. Again, I feel terrible. I mixed too many links last night.
You said that you were too sport athlete in college.
Yeah. I'll wrap up a little word of advice like they usually do.
What advice would you give to aspiring athletes that are trying to either, because right now it's a tough time because, you know, a lot of people didn't have a season or they're a late bloomer. They didn't get the opportunity to showcase their talents. What advice would you give them?
We live still?
Oh, yeah.
So what advice? This is just going to be general, so not even kind of keeping it strictly towards student athletes, but it's very simple, and it's crazy because I thought of what my response would be to something like this because I'm always asked this all the time, and my answer changes every time. But for today, two words, keep going. Like, keep going because what you're doing right now matters. Keep going because there's people out there that love you and support you. Keep going because at the end of the day, it's much more rewarding knowing that the grind, the journey ahead of you, it's not always going to be easy. You know, to be successful, you know, you're going to experience hardships and failure. Keep going. And, you know, at the end of the day, keep going because you have a purpose. And if you haven't tapped into that purpose yet, be patient because it will come to you in due time.
It'll hit you in the head like Vonage.
Yeah, my word of advice to everybody, you know, all walks of life, whatever field you're in as far as work, keep going.
Another gem. And like I said, we love dropping gems on this podcast, especially from people that are relatable. You know what I mean? It's cool to hear a gem from Gary Vee. You know what I mean? But like,
you guys are awesome.
You know, but to hear from people that are, you know, working and you know, trying to make shit shake, I feel like that is just, it's way more relatable, in my opinion. But to go back to something that we discussed earlier, you were talking about how you got tired of visiting schools. So if you didn't go to UDC, what were some of the other options that you were thinking about exploring?
James Madison University was definitely top. This is when I was still on the soccer track.
Yeah.
Looking at Drexel as well, more so on a soccer track
Drexel's
as well.
Drexel's a great school.
I went to their camps and everything. Like, I was just all about it. Those probably would have been more so my top schools that I was looking at. Again, like really kind of focusing on soccer mm-hmm. at that point. I had other schools interested in me. I'm losing track of what those, man, that was so long ago.
It was a long time.
I started undergrad in 2009. Yeah, that was a long time ago. Mm-hmm. I just dated myself. But yeah, those were some of the schools between like low D1, mid D1 schools, a lot of D2 school offers that were interested in. And I used to collect my little stack of offer letters, mm-hmm. wish I still had that. But I was very unfortunate to have options, options.
How much you average in high school?
Man, I want to say maybe like 26 points a game. Speaking of high school, it might be 2 years now, but I was actually inducted into my high school Hall of Fame. Not too long ago, maybe like 2 years ago. All around athlete, Miss Athletic. Yes.
Well, so let me ask you this question. Do you feel like, was your family a big athletic family in general, or like, is it just something that you always just kind of, you love sports?
My dad grew up in Kenya. He played rugby. He was on a swimming team. He I actually.
Black people can swim though. No, because there'll be so many people who don't know how to. It's like, please.
And it's really like my dad, like that's where kind of my love and passion for sports came. Now my mom was the one that was like, to my dad, you should get her involved mm-hmm. in sports. But as far as kind of that mindset, that athleticism, that all came from my dad. And the crazy thing is, speaking of, the African kind of lifestyle, the culture, my dad could have probably played professional rugby. Mm-hmm. But his parents were, really kind of honing in on the education. So he actually came to the States.
You need to be a doctor.
So yeah. My dad came to the States to get his degree for college. My dad, when it comes to sports, very competitive. He's the one that's been that kind of that drive for me to, be the athlete that I continue to be. Yeah,
similar to my dad. He was in Guyana. He was like one of the fastest people in his town. And he played soccer and he was like, yeah, when I was in high school, I used to line up in like the stands next to everyone who's racing on the track. And I used to dust them. And I'd be like, why didn't you just join the team, Dad?
Nah, just to prove
that. My parents wouldn't let me.
Shit, I was
like,
yeah.
The lack of the opportunity. I was like, damn.
That's crazy. But I mean, the reason why I asked that is because, I mean, in a lot of, I guess, successful athletic stories, and not even like to make it to the professional level, but like to have your school paid for even, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Yeah. I feel like a lot of you guys or kids in general, there's somebody, an adult for the most part, that is literally behind you and kind of mm-hmm. pushing you to do better and to work on your craft mm-hmm. and to constantly stay at it. And I feel like it's very rare that a kid themselves has that mentality to be like, okay, I'm just going to push and I'm going to hustle and I'm going to work hard. But like having that adult figure there is super key. Mm-hmm. And me personally, hearing you guys and all the great things you did in high school makes me feel like, damn, I was bullshitting. Like I wasn't going hard at it. Cause I mean, I'm a fairly athletic guy, but I feel like for me personally, my parent, like my mom, not like a big sports person, but if you tell her there's a game, she'll show up and she'll scream her ass off. You know what I mean? But in terms of like telling you to like go and like work out and like work on your game, I don't really have that. You know what I mean?
But check it. So like, mm-hmm. and not to cut you off. Like,
no, this is a podcast. We're discussing. We good.
My parents were a big driver, number one support system, like A1. But I saw in the back end the struggle that my parents had to go through just to get me to practice, just to get the equipment that I needed. Mm-hmm. And that was my driver, honestly, because I'm like, I'm going to get a free education so they don't have to pay for that.
Yeah.
So in addition of me having their support, it was more so like, this is my gift to them. I want to give back. I want to make sure that whatever I need to do on my end, I'm going to be the best that I can be to get a scholarship that's mm-hmm. paid for, and we're good to go. Like, there you go. Thank you, parents, for all that you've done. Yep. And this is kind of my gift to you.
Yep. When did that switch like kind of get flipped?
I mean, this was like back in high school. Cause I mean, in high school at an early age, you're already, especially junior year, it's kind of like our SAT scores, what schools are looking at. All of that. And, I actually started basketball on a later end. Like soccer is like typically everybody's first sport, but mm-hmm. I think I started like basketball in sixth grade. And just being naturally athletic, I was able to kind of grow into the sport. And probably early high school, maybe freshman, sophomore year. And it's just like, this is what I want to do, not only for myself, but for my family.
Yeah, that happened late for me because I was like, this is something to do. I'm fast. Like, yeah. And then like senior year was like, oh, you know what? I kind of want to do this in college.
Right. And so, it worked out. Like, yeah, everything worked out for me because the money that they were still saving for me for undergrad, that was the money that was used for me to go to grad school. So, thankfully, that was another end. I was like, all right, I want to get my master's degree. So, you know, thankfully able to get that scholarship that was able to support, you know, what was going on. So get that second degree. And we are degree, baby.
Two degrees shorter. Yeah.
2 degrees hotter.
Man, I honestly should have just kept playing soccer, though. I'm going to say that's the day I'm honestly. Try to be so American and play football because nobody was playing soccer. Mistake.
Hey, everything happens for a reason.
Oh, no, for sure. Don't worry, man. The next generation is gonna go off. So, I mean,
you tap in, our parents, like my parents more so, my dad, like his parents were like, you know, education is the route. Mm-hmm. You know, now me growing up, you know, one day when I become a parent, you know, I want to open those opportunities so that they can explore different avenues. Like, mm-hmm. you don't just have to strictly, you know, do this or be this. Mm-hmm. Like, you have options. There are options that you can pursue and explore. So I think, you know, as each generation comes along, you know, hopefully you get better with time and you learn how to do things a little bit better so that, you know, what you were struggling with, you know, your kids don't have to struggle with.
Yeah, because there's so many opportunities because there's kids out there right now on YouTube making the bag off making slime videos. I'm just mixing shit together, making slime, and I'm getting racks.
What a time.
Kids are smart, man.
There's kids opening toys on YouTube, getting paid for that.
Nah, I mean, it wasn't a lane that was around when we were coming up, honestly. Like, the fact that you have, like, even right now, this podcast episode is being recorded on your phone, you know what I'm saying? Like, the fact that you have the ability to literally just take your phone, sit it, create content. Like, at the drop of a hat, and then post it for everybody to see, like, super quick. We didn't have that. It was like you had to have your VCR or whatever, your camcorder, record it, upload it, you know what I mean? And figuring that out, all that out as a kid, you had to be dedicated to at least want to do the research. But, yeah, I mean, other than that, I think that's all I have. Ty, do you have anything that you want to say to the people before we wrap up the episode? Do you want to maybe shout out the brand? Shout out your sorors. Shout out Kenya. Yes. I'm doing the shout out for you. Go ahead. Do your thing.
Well, first, I just want to say this is probably like the most, I haven't done many podcasts, but this is probably like the most fun podcast that I've been on.
Hey.
Like, because I'm shy. Like, I'm low key shy, but I feel like I've been very comfortable since we started. So, shout out to A&B Podcast.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
I appreciate you both. But yeah, shout out to my family. Shout out to Kenya 254. Shout out to my soror, Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. And shout out to the haters, because, you know, there's haters low-key.
And
I feel like this is another story. So it took me a minute to kind of come to terms that I may have haters, and because I'm the type of person where I'm just like cordial with everyone. Like, I'm cool with.
I know exactly what you mean. You're like, why would people not fuck with me? Like,
yo, people, they banging with me, but you know, I look as I continue to elevate, I can tell in the background, like I can see the kind of the fake love and you know, the support or lack thereof. So shout out to the haters. You guys motivate me as well. But yeah, I'm blessed. So, I wish the best for everybody, for those that support me, for those that don't, keep grinding, keep going, hustle hard.
There you go.
Alistair, do you want to do your social medias too or anything like that?
Of course. So yeah, you can follow my personal account, Miss_Athletic15. That's Miss_Athletic15. Also, shout out to the brand and follow the brand Hustle Hard Global. And that is @HustleHardGlobal. Simple as that.
Okay. And Alistair, do you want to hold the people down with your Stairs to Greatness for this week?
100%. This week's Stairs to Greatness is very simple. Just enjoy life, because you never know when it could be over. Just last week, when the tropical storm hit New York, a tree fell and almost killed Tony. Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
Not rock streets.
Yeah, and damn, his dog, which he didn't even ever want in his house, was like running. He was like, yo. And then he looked back to shoo the dog away to get it out of the street because he was moving his car. Tree goes down.
Wow.
So you just enjoy life.
Damn, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad he's okay, man. He's a big supporter of the pod, so yeah.
You can follow me on social media, Dr_DoWork, Dr_DoWork. Make sure you follow our podcast page, AMB Period Podcast. Shouts to everybody who fucks with us. Shouts to everybody who's rolling with us. Like I said last week, you guys are the tires. You can't go nowhere without y'all. And I'm going to throw it to you, co-host.
With that being said, man, you know me. I don't have anything super profound to say at the end of the episode. I like to lollygag and make jokes. yeah, man, pick your spots, hit your shots. I'm actually gonna put that on a shirt. I think it's about time. It's the key to pretty much almost everything in life. So, you know, just take the shots that work for you. High percentage shots are always probably the best way to go. But every now and again, sometimes you do gotta throw up that Steph Curry 3-pointer, you know. So, and with that being said, y'all can follow me on social media, on Twitter, where I get my jokes off, Young Tamarack, YoungTamarack.
The biggest.
And then on Instagram, it's Kofi_Bryce. Of course, we always play local music from our artists in the area. So this week, I'm going to be playing some new music from my boy Quest. He just dropped an album called Johnny Quest. Great project all the way through. Check it out if you like the song that you hear at the end of the episode. So this has been another week of the AMB Podcast. Thank y'all for listening.
Hey,
peace.
We out.
'Cause you the one for me, ay, I could shout a louder from a jungle tree, ay, tell the world about it so they all can see, ay, what it really means to be in love. Baby, you can always be my company, ay, with me through the pretty and the ugly, ay, let's get in the jacuzzi and suburban, ay, baby, throw your feet on me, eat it up, ay, you deserve it, girl, you working, I am certain I'm the person to your person, ay, I need a surgeon to convert us to a version of a whole new me. Can't keep it low, 'cause you take me high. When I'm next to you, baby, I can fly. I open up my heart and let you inside. So girl, without you, I think I would die.
I got this feeling and it's weighing on me. I can't eat and baby, I cannot sleep. 'Cause you have got me so gone, we won't come back for weeks. Your love is paradise, I don't wanna leave.
Ay, look, let's get away, go to a better place. Don't you hesitate, I really wanna levitate. Look, I don't got no pulls, I got loose time. Ay, but stay with me and we can fly to Dubai. Ay, baby, it's a process all in due time. Ay, and later we can check it like a shoot sign. Ay, I think I should marry you a few times. Ay, just so that you know that, baby, you mine.
Let's go hit the beach. You so into me, I'm so into you. What we finna do, we can really move. I don't wanna stop this.
Can't keep it low, 'cause you take me high. Ay, when I'm next to you, baby, I can fly. I open up my heart and let you inside. Ay, so girl, without you, I think I would die.
I got this feeling and it's weighing on me. I can't eat and baby, I cannot sleep. 'Cause you have got me so gone, we won't come back for weeks. Your love is paradise, I don't wanna leave. I got this feeling and it's weighing on me. I can't eat and baby, I cannot sleep. 'Cause you have got me so gone, we won't come back for weeks. Your love is paradise, I don't wanna leave.